I'm an ignorant. That's my soul. Like the police and the taxman.
I've never read you any bags in the story. Okay, I'll give you the nickel tour so you know what's going on, sort of. As much as you know anything in my writing that's going on, you know, usually you just...
Yeah, I don't.
You just float as far from it as you can while being polite, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I appreciate that, because you remain polite. Okay. When I was a teenager, my sister was a little kid, and she had all these...
That one
is specific. This is Algernon Beagle. She had many kinds of animals.
She had Algernon.
She must have.
I mean, the name.
Gosh.
It's curious.
We had this
very...
It's really cool. We had this very elaborate process whereby there was a book of names that I would go into, and she couldn't look at it. So I think I named most of them, but Algernon, I don't know. The closest I can think is that there was a book that was popular among high school kids called Flowers for Algernon, but I didn't read it. Okay, so many of these, and they were in paper bags. At first, they were in a big toy box, and they were getting crushed. So we got these grocery bags, you know, brown paper bags like you have in the kitchen, and put them all in that. And then one day my mother came home from the thrift store, and she had these big cloth laundry bags with zipper. Three of them. So we put them in there. And we call it Bag End. Bag End is a place in Lord of the Rings. So whatever. So Bag End on the outside looks like three big laundry bags filled with. On the inside, it's like an apartment building. Except there's no stairs. There's ramps, because some of the creatures that live there don't have legs. And like at the end of each level has a hallway. At the end of the hallway, there's nothing. Leaping, it's like those are the wall. There's nothing.
As they come out, open space.
Right, exactly. Let's see. Okay, so that's basic premise, and there's like lots of things happen. Like I don't know what even Cooper was or was. There's just like these stories that we make up. So, the story I'm going to read to you is about a character named Betsy Bunnypillow. Betsy Bunnypillow is my sister's nickname. Her name is Christine, nickname is Chris. So her favorite pillow is this pillow named Betsy.
Betsy
Bunnypillow.
Bunnypillow.
Yeah.
I'm sure I know what you're doing.
Betsy Bunnypillow.
Betsy Bunnypillow.
Right. Betsy whispers. She doesn't talk. She whispers. It's a long story, but the whole point of this is that this is one of the stories about her.
The long, strange story of Betsy Bunnypillow. A while ago, that crazy real-life pillow named Betsy Bunnypillow decided that I should write her autobiography, which means she talks a lot about herself, and I have to write it all down, or I am in dire trouble, which is one of the worst kinds of trouble.
Wait a minute, last time you're going to talk, you're going to say you can't read this time, we're in trouble.
Now mind you, Betsy doesn't like me, for sure, but she figured that because I do a newspaper and all, that everyone would hear about it. Sad but true. I don't have anything else good to write right now, because Betsy keeps me busy all the time. And it's not really a true story either. I keep telling her that, but she said it's not important about what's true, just what she remembers. Maybe Betsy thinks I'm going to make a book about her life, but I don't think so. I don't know how to make books, And why would I want to anyway? It was my person mommy, Miss Chris, who talked me into going along with Betsy's crazy idea. I love Betsy, LOL. That's what Miss Chris called me. When I found her in my front yard, she was dirty and scared. But look how she got better, and then she freed all the other bunny pillows from that bad Farmer Jones. I agreed, especially because Miss Chris was screeching my headphone. Do I love that? I forgot. He has run on sentences like I do. But I was still more no than yes when Miss Chris looked at me slyly and said, if you write Betsy's story, I will tell you about her from the early days that even she doesn't know. Okay, I agreed. I put on my reporter's fedora and took my pencil and notebook along to find Betsy in her secret clubhouse, guarded by her loyal allies.
You didn't enjoy this a lot, actually.
Wow.
Sounds like we're getting on that fucking project, though.
Oh, good. I don't know what that means, but I'm glad you're laughing. I don't know all my ABCs so good, but my friend Lori Bunny can usually figure out my notes, and if she needs help, she goes to that language-pocked guy, Ali Leopard, in his bright green eyes. I went through the door to the field where Betsy's secret clubhouse is in a big tree. Then there was smoke and silence, and I was flying through the air, and there were scary voices singing in strange languages, and I was mad and scared all at once. And then it was over, and here was Betsy Bunny Pillow sitting in a big chair looking at me. Looking at me through funny little spectacles, holding some paper in her hands.
Ah, Beagle, I have been expecting you.
She whispered almost friendly. Betsy, you don't have eyes or hands, I cried. Oh, bad move. Oh, unlucky Beagle. Betsy bounced through the air in a flash and was about to smother me for good when a group of her prime allies pulled her away. He's here to write your autobiography, they cried. Forget it, you stupid pillow. Miss Chris made me. I am going. But the prime allies convinced me to stay. One of them even whispered to me that if I stayed, I might get the biggest story of the year. What story, I demanded. Trouble in the Bunny Pillow Free State. A rebellion. You have to get the rest of the story first, though. Great. Secret good stories promised to me for later. Meanwhile, I have to write down all Betsy's crazed fake memories for who knows how long. Okay, fine, I said, and sit it down near Betsy's big fancy chair. Yeah. Well, you couldn't possibly read this.
Sure, I could.
Sure.
You mean it could, right?
The allies left me alone with Betsy, and she started right away. She put on her ridiculous glasses and bounced thoughtfully around the room looking at her papers. I didn't ask, but she told me. God damn it, I can't whisper. It's ridiculous.
Notes and remembrances, Beagle. My life has been so much more, shall we say, active than yours, but I have some mementos.
What are you talking about? I wisely did not say. You are a stupid bully pillow. You're mean and rude, and you're just lucky that you're Miss Chris's favorite pillow, or you would be long gone. Boy, I guess I was mad. I said, go ahead, Betsy, I'm ready.
I was born into abject captivity in a land where no sun shined and no birds sang happily. All that was young and good and free was in chains. Nobody smiled. It was always winter, but never Christmas. I tried to leave right then and there. That's in the Narnia book, I guess.
Betsy ignored me this time. I walked right toward the door to leave, but she kept bouncing thoughtfully around, adjusting her spectacles and reading her papers and whispering. I finally sat back down. It would be more trouble not to write the story than to write it. Hours and hours went by. Betsy talked and talked. I writed and writed. Betsy talked about great sieges that went on for months and glorious battles in which she and her generals led thousands of brave troops into battle against the evil farmer Jones and his mighty minions. I can tell all of you right now that I remember what really happened, and if any of my dear readers want to see the true stories, I will show you in my newspapers.
All seemed against us the night before that fateful battle, but we huddled together, one and all, and prayed to our Maker for guidance and sustenance.
Groaned Betsy, the make-it-all-up machine. I threw down my pencil and notebook. Betsy, Farmer Jones is your Maker, you dumb pillow. He planted you in the ground to grow you and sell you to rich people. Betsy paused in her thoughtful bouncing and glared at me over her spectacles.
We knew the odds were against us making it through the day. The troops begged me to say a few words to comfort their last sleep before their possible final demise. Troops, I cried. Loyal troops gathered in this moonlit field on this historic night in the ongoing struggle of our people to be free. I am a pillow a few words. But I must say to you tonight that slavery is a four-letter word. We will endure it no more. I was sneaking toward the door at this point, knowing that freedom has at least five letters. Even though I don't know which ones. I sneaked through the door and was going to get away when a crew of allies stopped me. Sorry, Algernon, they said. You have to go back. But she's just making it all up, I guess. I was there. It was never like that.
We know. But she won, didn't she?
Yes, but why does she remember it like that? She is a hero in the real story, too. An old ally with a sad voice said, Betsy has regrets few will ever know. I nodded and started to go back. Then it hit me. What does that mean? I would have left again and even faster, but Betsy came out and encouraged me to come back by saying she might not smother me if I hurried. I hurried. On and on it went, like before. Regrets few will ever know. Meanwhile, everyone will hear her stupid made-up stories. I fell asleep really late. When I woke up, Betsy was curled up against me. More next week.
Okay, so this next part is called Algernon Beagle Comes Out of Hiding.
I am finally writing my newspaper again, dear readers. It's been so long since the last one, I had to remember how. I did too, real easy. It was that dumb pillow that made me go into hiding because of her dumb idea that I had to write her biography, which is supposed to be the story of someone's life, but Betsy Bunny Pillow don't listen to dictionaries and told me I had to write down what she said, even all the made-up parts, most of it. Sheila Bunny, my adopted sister and mayor, etc. of Bag's End, said that made me a good ghostwriter. But let me tell you, dear readers, this particular beagle is no ghost. So there, I decided I had enough of Betsy and her big guy fluffy ways. One fine day, she was in the middle of another of her fat tales.
At precisely midnight, we pillows as one rose high up from the earth, attached only by our roots, which were like lifelines holding us
from floating away completely. My roots were fake, of course, as were those of the Allies who had snuck onto Farmer Jones' bunny pillow farm, disguised as pillows. But we... That's when I decided I had enough. I closed my notebook and put it back in my... and put it and my reporter's fedora back in the little brown bag Miss Chris had given me to carry my newspaper stuff around. The bag has straps, so I put on my front paws, my paws through, and then the bag rests nicely on top of my back. I did all of this slowly and carefully, not caring if Betsy saw. Which she didn't. She kept bouncing slowly and thoughtfully around the room we were in, adjusting her ridiculous spectacles over her not face and looking with her no eyes at her notes. I was gonna say something mad or angry or something, but no words in me helped out, except maybe one. It was run. And so I do it. I run and run from Betsy Bunny Pillow, not knowing where I was going, but not gonna write no more stupid stories either. So I'm not sure exactly how I ended up in this long field of weeds by the side of the long, straight road. But there I finally stopped, and there I stayed for a long time. Now this story, Yoshi, in fictional terms, is set on Canal Street.
On the North Station?
No, Canal Street, the long street that you walk to get to here.
Oh, okay.
The side of the road that has the train tracks.
Oh, okay.
And there's a long... green?
Okay.
Weeds? Yeah, that's where the story is set. Fiction. Fiction. It's made up. I thought it was funny that none of the weeds did their usual... Oh, Algernon is the king of the weeds. The weeds all like Algernon. Because... Yeah, it gets him going.
Weeds need me.
Yeah, right. Right, right. The reason he's king of the weeds is because everybody else would be mean to the weeds and not like them. Okay. But Algernon decided they needed a friend.
Okay.
And so they made him king. But then Algernon's a humble guy, which means short and low to the ground, which means... humble, which means modest and low to the ground. And so he said to the weeds, if I'm the king of you, you guys are the king of me. So when he goes by the weeds and they yell, yay king, he yells, yay weeds. It's a very friendly relationship. I thought it was funny that none of the weeds did their usual cheer and friendliness to me, but I guess they were asleep. I didn't know at first it was really late at night because there were so many big bright street lamps on the street. I was tired too from all my running, so pretty soon even the brightness couldn't keep me from sleeping. Yay, Algernon! Was what woke me in the real morning. It started slowly with the weeds I was closest to. I was careful to sleep, curled around the weeds. Anyway, they started first, and then spread and spread until it was everywhere. Yay, King! Now, I am a humble guy, so unlike throne-loving chaps like Stila, I prefer the floor with my friends all around me. I have carefully taught the weeds that if I am their king, then they are mine, and so we are all each other's. So, yay weeds, yelled me. And then the weeds cheered me some more, and I cheered them, and they cheered each other, and I cheered me and some of them cheered some others, and so on for a long, fun time. Then after a while, I remembered why I was there cheering and all. Weeds, said me sadly, I am on the run from that crazy big guy, Betsy Bunny Pillow. Boo, yelled all of the weeds before I talked anymore. Betsy has made clear her low opinion of weeds that are not bunny pillows like her, which none of them are, of course, I think so far. I asked the weeds if I could hide out with them for a while, and the cheering started all over again, so I guess cheers equals yes. I was worried that if Betsy caught up to me, she would do something terrible like try to smother the weeds. But then, I thought some more. Weeds are pretty good at getting by, even with no friends but your old pal Agenor. And they didn't seem scared one bit. I decided the best thing to do was just not to stay very long. I looked around some more and saw other parts of this tribe of weeds home. Weeds live in tribes. There is a choo-choo train track that went along the fence on the other side of the weeds than the road, and next to the track was a fence to keep anti-weed fans away, I guess. Anti-weed fans. I wanted to ask the weeds all about these things, but they don't talk English much. They like to sway in the wind and listen to the sunshine and be calm about everything. They like to grow too, but that part comes naturally, and I don't think they do too much about it. So I got pretty weedy for a while. Weedy. So I got pretty weedy for a while, and I remembered how much I liked being weedy. It was all good, but sadly it didn't go on and on, this being a story involving crazy bags and guys and their crazy ideas. I heard a whisper screaming voice far away, and then I heard a grumpy baby's voice. Oh no, that Betsy Bunny Pillow and that silly baby, Sergeant Lisa Marie Chow, were teamed up to whelm me and my friends the weeds. There's this baby in Bags End with red hair and blue eyes whose name is Lisa. And she thinks she's a sergeant in the Army of the Babies. And she thinks her daddy is Hawkeye from MASH. I've never liked anything of mine before. Jesus. I'm not used to you actually paying attention to me reading, Yoshi. It's amazing.
You should have introduced it earlier.
Yeah. So, anyway, Lisa is this baby with red hair and blue eyes who thinks Hawkeye's her daddy, and she thinks she's a sergeant in the Army. And she doesn't understand that Hawkeye and MASH hated the Army. And if you tell that to her, she says, "Don't bother me with the details." Now, your old pal Agenon will never be the picture next to the word brave or hero in the dictionary, but I just couldn't let that nice tribe of weeds get whelmed because of me. I was gonna go and turn myself in before anything bad happened when the weeds did something strange. They gathered the wind up and sort of blew it at me, so it said shh, but quietly, so I'm sure Betsy and Lisa didn't notice it. I got the message and hunkered down as deeply as I could, and since I'm a humble guy, which means short and low to the ground, I hunkered pretty good. Algernon, called Betsy in her fake nice voice. Algernon, where are you? This is your old friend Betsy calling. I am so worried over you. Please come out. Wiggle, called Lisa in her fake nice, even worse than Betsy's voice. We won't fumble you. But I stayed there and the weeds gently guided them right past me. I don't know how, but safe for how long? More next week.
Why am I so
paths that I've driven to my death. I see that it is empty and invisible in my head. I am afraid of the name of the I'm more weary of the torment. Can there be no peace? And I find myself desperate. My life.